It's lovely.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.
Hello, hello, hello.
You're welcome to the Two Johnnies Podcast, bringing you all the mayhem and the news from the world of the Two Johnnies.
Are you going to take my spot?
Go on, will you? Go on with it.
Go on, would you? I'm Johnny B.
And I'm Johnny Smacks. I don't know why he's jumping in front of me.
Go on.
Lads and ladies, drum roll please. It's podcast number 25, coming to you from our nation's capital city, Balia Átha Cliath, or as we prefer to call it, the Big Schmoke. On this week's podcast, we will be discussing the solution to and cause of all life's problem, the drink.
The drink. Only Cú Chulainn could match this man's hurling skills. And I am, of course, referring to the one and only 19-year senior hurling legend, Noel Furlong. He'll be here with the news.
She's here to keep order, and she might even give us an update on her Tinder adventures. Maureen is in the house.
In the house. We've also opened up the floodgates to the questions. We did it on our social media. Ask us anything. And Smacks hasn't shown them to me, so I am sweating here waiting for your questions.
And it wouldn't be a Two Johnnies podcast without our yurts and dirts of the week.
Yurt and dirt.
Before commencing with proceedings, matters arising from last week's podcast, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. On last week's podcast, on Ireland's Sexiest Man, we got a snap saying, really feel like Emil Mulligan from Leitrim.
Emlyn.
How does he pronounce it?
Emlyn Mulligan.
Mother of God, there's some notions up in Leitrim, lad. He wasn't given a fair run in Ireland's Sexiest Man discussion. And also, Johnny, I got snaps in saying, where was Paddy Maher in the list of Ireland's Sexiest Men? He was out the back baiting, lads, is where he was.
I actually got a message on Instagram from Matt Hanlon. He said, thanks very much for that, lad. I'm going to put that in my Twitter bio. He was thrilled.
And also got a couple of questions. Where was Michael Fassbender?
I wouldn't be that gone on him now.
Yeah, we're getting nods around the studio here. The women are agreeing. Go on, would you?
I wouldn't be that gone on him, and I have to be honest. Catherine tweeted saying she was in full agreement with Johnny Smack's assessment on Galway's Garrod McInerney. And he picked up an injury last week now.
Yeah,
so
best wishes.
I'm sure
too.
There'll be women queuing around the block to rub him better
nurses. Joe Canning, right? A lot of votes for Joe Canning. But the voice is throwing me off.
Oh, the eyes, man.
Yeah, I know. He's got puppy dog eyes.
Like a husky.
Yeah, but you can't have Ireland's Sexiest Man. He's got the voice of a 12-year-old. If I'm going to let a fella ride me, he'll only be talking like Russell Crowe.
All right, Johnny. I am Gladiator.
You know what I mean? You let that fella at you now. You couldn't.
I don't know what you're at, boy. I tell you, I don't know what goes on in your personal life. Go on.
So in terms of male grooming, picking up on last week's podcast, one lad who asked to remain anonymous, fair enough, said, on the trimming situation, I myself trim the stomach hair in the below area, but I can't
do... I'm guessing he's on about pubes there.
Yeah, he should have just said that. But I can't do the back door. It's so annoying because it's extremely hairy and I think a lot of men can relate. Google manzillion, my friend. I don't know about that.
But people get it done. I'm
not a fan of inflicting pain on myself, no, Maureen. So I'd imagine that's fairly sore.
Yeah, but some cyclists need to get it done because it can cause friction between the saddle and that region, so they get stuff waxed.
Do you not want a bit of padding?
Yeah, but that's the padding and the hair and the skin cause friction. So if you remove the hair, there's less friction. So
Mother of God, don't switch off yet, lads. It gets better.
Lloyd snapped us to say, should have paid attention to the warning about Noel's news. I'm in Amsterdam and was cycling home from work and clattered into the back of a car. Lloyd, I'm sick of saying it, lads. When we give notice, we mean it. Do not be operating anything or driving at it while Noel's news is on.
Yeah, and shout out to Eleanor, who hit a kangaroo in Australia while listening to Noel's news as well.
No animals were harmed in the making of this Two Johnnies podcast.
Poor Skippy.
Throw him into the back there. Bring him home for the barbecue. No, he'll be all right. Go on. What's next, Mr. Chairman?
So if you want to get in touch with us on the Two Johnnies podcast with your take on topics or to just send us abuse, just use the hashtag Two Johnnies Pod. That's the digit 2 Johnnies Pod. Don't be sending us abuse, though. And you can also get in contact on social media or message us on Snapchat or Instagram. Our usernames are Johnny B Tipman and Johnny Smacks. Okay, the weekly roundup. What was going on in Two Johnnies land this week, Johnny B?
We finally got the chance to film the video, a music video for our new single, The Silage Song.
Only a year on. It only took a year.
Now, we're after missing the first cut of silage, and most lads have the corn done as well. But we're hoping we might get a good shot of rain now, and there'll be a good second cut of silage, because the lads under pressure.
Yeah, serious pressure.
Big shout out to the farmers. So we got the video done, and we got roped into actually stook a few square bales while we were there. You're never going to get in and out of a farm without getting your hands dirty.
Exactly, exactly. And my hay fever was at an absolute all-time high there with the straw, but we got through it.
I mean, the hay was fair fresh, like, it was sweet.
Good smell off of that. Good green hay. Good green hay. But yeah, that'll be with you next week, I'm sure, the silage song. And also, we're recording a little bit earlier this week because we're off to a gig in Athlone. So we're going from Dublin to Athlone. A nice trip down the country. But that's why we're recording a little bit early. And we're also heading to the Galway game, Johnny.
We are. We're going to the Galway game on Sunday. This would all have happened now by the time you hear this. And hopefully Galway-Monaghan was a classic for the ages.
We hope we have survived the traffic on race week getting out of Galway. That's my biggest concern at the moment.
And I hope you enjoyed your bank holiday Sunday.
Yeah. Hope you're having a nice lazy Monday when this podcast comes out and you're enjoying it. Hopefully it's sunny wherever you are.
Now,
I sound like we're on a local radio station here.
Don't say it like we don't do it in Farry now, right?
And this one goes out to Teresa in Ballyporeen. Teresa, taking the clothes.
Great weather for drying, Teresa. Right, well, that bank holiday Monday brings us on to topic number one, Johnny.
There's probably a lot of people around the country dying from this, and this is our topic this week, the drink. So this week, the GAA and HSC have announced a partnership encouraging fans to drink less and gain more on and off the pitch. So for the first time, fans attending the All-Ireland semi-final on August 11th will be able to enjoy an alcohol-free family fun zone at the Cusack stand before both games and at breaks in play. Johnny B, your view on this?
Okay. An alcohol-free zone in Croke Park. I've been to Croke Park many, many times, and I have never seen alcohol be an issue in Croke Park, ever.
Apart from that 1-9 Mayo fan who kept asking for a photo like 40 times.
Okay.
She's an exception to the rule.
If she's listening, no, turn off, go away. But in the terrace, you might get the odd Larry who's full of cans.
The odd Ole.
The odd Larry. But in general, I mean, I've been to Thurles again. Probably been to 100 matches in Thurles. Well, no, I don't know, 50. And never once would you see trouble. Now, there was one time my mate Chalky fell asleep in the terrace during a Munster final after he paid about 50 bob for the ticket now. But other than that...
No, I have to agree with you there. Like, I don't see drink in and around Croke Park as being a problem at all. But I can see their point of off the pitch. Like, you know, I mean, there's probably a few lads have a few pints to go out and play a game. That's dangerous. You'll never have a hamstring left if you're at that crack. Mm. I can guarantee that. But I mean, as regards in Croke Park itself, I don't think it's a problem. Look, it's this initiative is probably no harm.
It's nice that there is a kid zone. You know me, I was talking about the razzmatazzing around games. I think there should be a bigger fan zone for people to come. Mm. Because, you know, if the pubs, they're mighty crack, but you probably don't want to be bringing 8, 9, 10 year olds in there.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's nice to have an area for them, but I don't think you should be punishing the parents. Now, Johnny, there's a hurling target. Hit that there now. I'm going to have a can of cider.
Yeah. I don't think it's any harm. But with that in mind, we thought we'd discuss Ireland's relationship with the drink and ask if it's a good or a bad relationship. So what's the current state of affairs in Ireland regards the drink?
The drink.
The drink. The evil drink.
The drink.
Jesus.
It's love-hate.
I would say a lot more love. I think in Ireland, we're the home of the crack. And I don't mean that as in the drug. I'm talking about the crack, like having the crack.
Yeah,
but I think people come here, they expect, you know, to have drink and have a bit of fun, bit of music, bit of crack. You know, they're not coming here to play checkers in Dublin. Let's get that straight away. So I'd be thinking when we go abroad, they're like, oh my God, you're Irish, you're going to be so much fun. And I think that's kind of because of the drink, because we love a bit of drink, love a bit of mischief.
Okay, we are great crack, but there's nearly an onus on us when we go abroad to drink.
Yeah.
And be good crack. Johnny, we're a walking advertisement for our nation everywhere I go.
Do you think there's a problem with drink? I think the problem with drink is mostly in young people where they're going out getting blackout drunk. I mean, we've all been there. I've been passed out outside the nightclub on the flat of me back, getting dragged back to me B&B. Like, we've been there. And like, that was last Saturday night, but I knew what...
But you've learned and you've grown.
I've learned and I've grown. But no, genuinely, I think we've all done that when we've been young. We've went to college. We've probably partied too much or... You know, we spent all of Mammy's money on Aldi vodka and passed out. But I think people learn from that. It's like a learning curve. And it's like your relationship with drink just has to move on past this. You find your pint, your tipping pint.
It's quite a slow
learning slow burner.
So I don't have a problem with the drink. The issue is we go too hard. We break the speed limit.
Oh, we sure do.
On drink now. And college is one you mentioned there. Irish people go fair hard in college.
100%.
Like if Mammy or Daddy are paying for the whole thing... Lads, if you know shame. I never went to college, but you can probably tell. But like, you wouldn't see, you know, like the Asian lads at it, they'd be up studying all night. The Irish lads would be falling down the streets.
Yeah, that is true. I think the negatives with the drink is obviously the fear.
The fear, Monday morning.
The fear, like, not even Monday morning, any morning after. Mm. I mean, if I'm hungover, I'm a nightmare. I've just got an inability to think. Everything becomes hard work.
I've seen this.
I'm on the junk food. I'm eating a chicken roll at 11. Then I'm on to the chippers. Then that night, probably 4 packets of Pringles and 8 Kinder Surprises that night. And then I'm tetchy. I'm irritated. I'm sweating. I feel everyone's out to get me. But I still love it. Like, there can't be enough positives said for, like, the positives, John.
For drinking?
I think they outweigh the negatives.
Well, can I ask you, why do you go out? Why do you drink?
I just love the crack. I mean, I love getting ready.
This
even
is true.
Showering,
oh my God.
It's an event for me. So when I get into the shower, I've got the music playing. I normally go for a nice little 80s playlist. Yeah, I'm in there, Flock of Seagulls, that kind of stuff.
Would you be drinking while you're getting ready?
I might have one drink if I'm not driving to town. If I'm getting a lift into town, if one of the boys will pick me up, I'll probably have maybe one drink while I'm getting ready. I'll be getting a shower, picking out my clothes, the whole lot. Then there's the whole social aspect of it. So we go to the pub, we're sitting around with our friends, telling story. Like, I go to the pub with all our friends, like, and we tell the same stories that we've probably told every weekend since 2009, but they get funnier and they've got legs every weekend. Yeah. And you're revisiting these stories and it's fun. And then, like, I think a lot of people probably drink for that social aspect. A lot of people drink for the bravery aspect of it as well. I think men wise you know, some of our friends, they won't look at a woman.
Oh yeah,
couple of drinks, maybe a cheeky tequila,
they'd be up in their back,
they'd be absolute. They go from, like, a fella who's never spoken to a woman to Brad Pitt, yeah, in 2 tequilas. So I think that's another thing. And then there's that kind of take the edge off. We're good men for working hard. Mm. And we'll fly around the country, do everything we can. But then, I tell you, when we get the chance, we break loose, like, and we break loose hard. So they would be my positives. That's why I drink.
Okay.
That really, that's why. Why do you drink?
Because you're drinking.
Peer pressure.
Peer pressure. No, I do like a beer.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be happy if I never drank anything else.
But, like, just here, current Irish guidelines recommend a limit of 170 grams pure alcohol, 17 standard drinks per week for men, and 110 grams pure alcohol, 11 standard drinks for women.
That's what they recommend. Jeez, I don't know if I could fit that in every day.
No, it's not that they recommend it. It's
so that's like your 5 a day. We recommend 17 standard drinks a week.
Per week, yeah.
So that's basically what you're allowed in a week.
Yeah, so basically, if you're drinking more than that, you're probably doing your body harm.
Well, we're definitely doing our body harm.
So for men, that equals about 6 pints per week. And what? For women, oh, hang on, 4 pints.
How is 6 pints? 11,
17 standard drinks.
So,
sure, isn't a pint a fucking standard drink?
No. A pint is between 2 and 3 units, depending on. So, if it's 3.8% mm-hmm. volume or 4.5% volume.
Who's
so.
Drinking half pints?
So, six pints a week for men.
Who's deciding the units, like?
I wasn't decided by a fella down the country. I can guarantee
fucking
you that.
French or somebody.
Some fella in an office now is deciding.
This is the
that.
HSE, so these are their official guidelines. So,
if you're a woman and you prefer wine out there, that's a little bit over one bottle of wine per week.
Yeah.
Now, do women love the lady petrol?
Glad you'd have that gone during X Factor.
Yeah. I'd have that gone in the shower. But is it a danger? I mean, we've heard of more and more people drinking at home.
Oh, well, drinking at home, I think, is the...
It's a slippery slope.
Yeah. It's gas. When we were younger now, we would have had a few drinks at home. But now, I'd never drink at home.
When we were younger, I think we had a few drinks because it was cheap.
Yeah.
You know, you'd get fairly toasted at home.
You'd be Bon Jovi, lad. You'd be halfway there now before you hit the pub, like.
Yeah, exactly.
But now I want to go out sober because...
Yeah, you enjoyed more. You know, you're kind of at that age. You're not socially awkward anymore.
Well, a little bit.
Apart
still,
from I still won't walk into a pub first at 27 years of
you
age.
You walked into a hotel first last week, remember?
Yeah, I was very proud.
Yeah.
But nobody knew me there, that's why.
Ah, they knew you.
Yeah, I hope they did know me. But drinking at home, Johnny, this is a slippery slope. We said it there a second ago.
Yeah, if you've got, a lot of people do it as like a de-stressor. Mm. And ladies, I'm sorry, but you got to be careful.
You're calling them out.
Well, I'm calling them in.
Get in out of the kitchen, get in out of the fridge.
Come in out of the fridge, because women, there's a stat there somewhere, if you can find it, Johnny, have a habit of drinking wine. And that's a slippery slope, because wine is, you know, what would you say, glamorous.
Yeah.
Like, women would probably drink less if they were drinking flagons of cider.
Yeah, it's perceived as being quite cool. So it's kind of like, it's like your little, it's mommy's treat. Mommy's had a hard day at work. She's come home, put on the dinner, put the kids to bed. She's sitting down to watch EastEnders or something. Little glass of wine there for
mommy. Can't mommy have a scone?
I'm gonna give you the hard facts now. In 2016, Professor Frank Murray, who's a consultant physician and gastroenterologist, that's not pronounced right, at Beaumont Hospital, said professional women were drinking up to half a bottle of wine every night without realising they were putting themselves at risk of developing cirrhosis for the liver. I know what that is. That's a staggering fact.
Yeah.
Half a bottle of wine a night.
Yeah, so that works out about 3.5 bottles of wine per week, and you're only supposed to drink just over a bottle. Like, you're drinking any more than one bottle of wine per week.
The one thing I can't figure out from that is, why don't they just drink the full bottle a night? No, but it is very dangerous. And I think it's a habit as well. If you get into this habit of drinking every night, it kind of becomes the norm, which I don't think it's the norm. Like, I won't touch a drink during the week, or if I'm at home. Like, the only time I'll drink really will be out in a pub.
Yeah. Out.
At an event. Yeah, out, as we say. Like, so there's two different types of out. There's, oh, I'm out, you know, I'm having one or two. Or I'm out, which means, like, I'm having a kebab at 5:30 in the morning and I'm bearing my soul out to a taxi driver on the way home. That's out.
Out.
But I think anything we go out is out. But to the women out there, let us know your view on it. You know, don't be afraid to get in touch with us. If you're down in two bottles of wine a night, you can always talk to us.
No, wind the back a bit, girls. Jesus.
We'll sort it. But I mean, we talked about the positives and the negatives, really, of alcohol consumption. And we talked, like, is there a difference between drinking at home and drinking at the pub? I think drinking at home is very antisocial, if anything.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're drinking at home, are you just drinking to forget?
Or you're drinking home because you're stressed off your tits, lad.
Yeah.
Well, I would think that Graham Norton, I mentioned this to you before, that Graham Norton, he says that he only drinks in the company of other people now, that he thinks that it's a bad thing to be drinking on your own because you're just withdrawing yourself and you're using it as some sort of aid to, you know, a crutch to kind of get your mind across things. So, you know, it's just one of those things that if you're not measuring your drinking against somebody else's, then how do you really know if you have a problem or not?
So. Yeah. And how do you tell a friend if they have a problem? I mean, if you're looking in from the outset, I mean, we've all probably got friends who we worry for, I think.
I tell them straight out.
Yeah, you're brutal though, but I dance around it, you see. But I mean, how do you know? How do you know when they have a problem? Is it when they stop functioning work-wise?
Oh, definitely then, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, what's the step before that then? Is it if they're going out making a show themselves every Saturday night?
Yeah, I've had friends now who used to be roaring. You know them. Like, you have to avoid him on a Saturday night.
Yes.
You have to pull them lads aside of a Wednesday evening and say, hey, look, if you're going acting the Mickey again now Saturday night and not hanging around at you.
Yeah, that's probably fair. But that's probably the way to go, I think, with it. Like,
We used to do it with nicknames.
Mm.
So if people kept making a show themselves or kept doing something wrong, we had one lad who used to get drunk and he's a real tall lad and he's put his arm around your neck and be like, oh, I love you. So we nicknamed him the Scarf. Yep. And he hated it so much he stopped doing it.
So now he's not as annoying.
And then there was another lad who used to, like, burst into house parties and he would just destroy the place and he got nicknamed the Grenade. And there's another lad who was plaguing in the pub. He got nicknamed the Disease.
Yeah.
So these lads all cop themselves on when you get a nickname like that.
Yeah. I do think, though, that a lot of people who I, friends of mine, that would have thought, oh, geez, he's a bit fond of the drink, they're actually after getting really healthy now and are into the gym and stuff. So they're not drinking as much as they once were. So, yeah.
Well.
Say, you know, if your friends have problems, send them down the gym.
Yeah. I think in Ireland, we have the old work hard, play hard thing, where we work all the week, we're allowed our few drinks at the weekend, and I'm not going to stand in the way of anybody who wants to go and let off a bit of steam.
Yeah, but my thing is that there's other things to do, Johnny. So there's two points in this. There's going out socialising without drink, that's A, and then B is doing other things apart from going to the pub.
Like?
Right? We live in a small town, right?
Are you going to say the kayak? Well, if this is kayaking, I'm getting out of the studio.
Go sightseeing, like. Fellas have habits like going shooting and going rallying and all this.
I remember years ago, one of the boys came down to our house and me and you were living together.
Right.
And he was doing a study in college.
Oh, yeah.
On, you know, things to do without drink. And he came down to ask us a few questions, like. And we were all, at the time, you know, working during the week and going out the weekends. And he was like, you know, there's, like, why do you like doing it? And we're telling them all why we like going out the weekends and stuff like that. And then he was like, what would you do if you weren't going out the weekends? We're like, Jesus, I don't know. And then Johnny was like, there's loads to do, lad. We could all go kayaking. And then when Johnny left the room, he went out the door and closed the front door, and one of the boys just went, fucking kayaking. Did you ever hear the likes of it?
There's a kayaking club in our town.
I know, but I just
I've never done it, but like it's a thing.
I just can't imagine like Saturday evening there at 7 o'clock kayaking down the shore. Like,
we're going doing it.
Okay, we'll do it.
We're going to kayak all the way to Ardfinnan.
We'll do it. Have you anything else to say on your drink?
If you're going out socialising and you're not drinking, couple of scenarios. Nightclubs are a no-no. I don't want to hear it. Oh, it'll be grand. It won't be grand. Everyone else, it'll be Bananarama.
What is it about Irish people when someone says they're not drinking? We just load up the barriers. We just freak out. It's like,
yeah, but they're not one of us.
I think that's
what it is. You can't be trusted.
I think if one of my friends said, I'll go up and I'm not drinking, the boys would just be like, I'll fucking stay at home then. It'd be miserable all night. Yeah. But there is people out there who can have an absolutely great time going out and not drinking. Sometimes I wish I was like them. But yeah, it's tough. What, like, you know, Johnny, we've had situations there where we've been chatting to people who aren't drunk, and I think you're just immediately wary. You're like, oh no.
Do you ever try and chat up a girl if you've been drinking and she hasn't?
No.
Have you ever been out sober more and had a fella cracking onto you, like, and he thinks he's Casanova? Like,
oh yeah, and the little flecks of speck going on your face. But then the thing is, like, if you said it to a lad, like, oh, I'm not drinking, he just looks at you and I can see it in his head. It's like, oh, she's pregnant. So.
That never occurred to me.
No. So you've got another point there on that, John.
Yeah. So trying to meet women sober, if it's early in the night and everybody's on like drink number four, and you're sober, you know, you might put it off, you might seem cool, but by the end of the night, if you're sober and everyone is langers, you're just creepy.
Get in touch if you're one of those
come
people.
Here, come here now. If a girl's after having 10 drinks and you're sober, you, what do you want to do, like?
Yeah, you won't be bringing her home.
You can't.
No.
The best you could do there is get her on Instagram. Oh, you'd be lucky to get her phone number.
Okay, before we close up this...
No, I'm not done. Right, other situations... dealing with stuff, the likes of, you know, stress, talk about, like, you know, breakups and all that. You have to go out, get drunk and abuse everyone.
Yeah.
If you're sober, what are you going to do? You're going to go mountain climbing? Oh, no. I'm over it now, we're grand.
No, I think getting drunk just helps with the whole crying thing. You need to have a good cry after a situation like that. So.
A good cry, that's what I was looking for. Just, you know, yeah. It wasn't manly enough to say.
It releases the emotion. I think that's what we're trying to say here, is it?
Yeah, but some people are into their wine and all, and they like to drink the odd bit at home, and that's okay, but go handy is the main message.
Yeah, I think what we're trying to get across here is mind yourselves, lads, when you're drinking. And if you're going partying hard, bring someone with you who can party just as hard, but can also get you home in one piece. Can you remember your first drink? Remember your first night out?
I remember my first time getting really drunk.
Well,
it was at my aunt's wedding.
I thought you were going to say it was camping down the back field. No, it was at your aunt's wedding.
Probably at my aunt's wedding, yeah. The cousin Jackie O'Brien gave us all a lift home. And then we pulled up outside the house. And I ran down the laneway, like, and got sick. And I hid it from nobody, like. You know, yeah. The parents gave out to me. Stink.
I remember I was around 16 and I was going to a teenage disco. And I had a couple of slugs out of a Nagan. Took two big massive gulps, which I thought was sparkling the water. Started coming out my nose and everything. Got sick everywhere.
I wish I could talk to young people. Like 16-year-olds playing vodka is crazy.
Yeah.
Two Coors Light and you'd be on your ear.
Yeah, a Copperberg would probably suffice then.
It's overkill.
Your first drink, Mara?
I think I might have mentioned this before. I was 11 years old and my mum would be stacking up the bar in the pub and she'd be in and out of things. So I'd make myself a cup of coffee and I'd put a shot of Bailey's.
You're a hard fucker, Mara.
At 11? Yeah. You're hardcore, Mara.
But then I did it one Christmas and I'd gotten rollerblades from Santi, and don't drink and rollerblade at the age of 11 because you'll end up in
your
house.
I'm always saying that. I'm a big advocate of don't drink and rollerblade.
On that note, we're gonna call it there. But I would say to everyone, lads, be safe with the drink and always remember that if you start singing and you're 16 pints in, you don't sound good.
And just very quickly,
don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs.
Yes.
There you go.
We'll get a touch on it in a later podcast. Like, we're putting something together to go at it, and we'll talk about that. But for now, that's the drink. Be safe out there this bank holiday weekend. Okay, this man can do this impossible. I don't know.
Sorry, sorry.
That's obviously a typo, Mara, is it?
That should be that impossible.
You should know. I'm like Ron Burgundy. I'll read anything that's on that sheet. He caught a hurling ball while 15 feet up in the air. He hauls 4 bales in one go just using the tractor and loader. And he came up to Dublin today without Carmel, getting wind of what was going on up here. And it's time for Noel Furlong, lads. And it's time for Noel's News.
Noel's News. It's Noel's News.
How long, fella?
Well, Noel, nice to have you back in Dublin. Are you glad to be here?
Fucking dive.
Did you get the train up?
I did.
Were you drinking on it?
I might have had a hot toddy.
You found a place, no problem, anyway.
Oh, I did, bye. There's no stopping me. Okay. I only had to ask 7 or 8 lads. I had to stop into a few health food shops for directions.
Oh, health food shops?
Well, pubs, whatever you call them.
So you've got the news, our weekly dose of news.
Yeah, wished up, child, will you? Okay. Now, story number one. If you turn on your computer, what do you have? Well, now you probably have filth on yours, but... What do most people have?
Windows.
You get to Google.
Okay.
Not in China. There's no Google in China. Did you know that?
No.
Yeah, the government won't allow it.
No. Get Maureen is going there, will you? China, they've no Google and they've no TK Red Lemonade either. Or Avonmore. I'm trying to think now what else they don't have. They're big fans of the Irish baby food, actually. Do you know that?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you know the old dry powdery stuff?
Mm.
The old town gate.
Malupa.
They go fucking mad for that. Yeah, they don't trust their own stuff. I swear to God. They go mad for the Irish stuff. But personally now, I don't believe in baby food. All of my lads were on the tit and then went straight to the spud. Maybe a bit of pandy if they were sick.
Pandy? What's that?
Do you never get pandy?
No.
Fuck it, you were deprived.
Is that like Liga or something? Or
pandy?
Rusks.
not. Stop. You fucking sleaze the tui. Pandy is our bread and milk hotted up.
Is that not called...
pandy?
I call it gruel. Goody or something.
Gruel. Goody.
Yeah.
Goody, yeah.
Gruel. Who are you fucking? Oliver Twist. Huh? Run picking pockets in fucking Victorian London. Maybe a pandy, you might have a bit of spud in it. A drop of milk. A sap. So, that's China, anyway. And, so, Google, look at the head and other clown over here. All right.
Pandy, like.
I don't believe in that baby food, fucking shite. So, no, China. The Google lads, they pulled out of China in 2010 because China wasn't letting them work way their own way now. So like if you search for something in China, but it wouldn't let you search for half the stuff at all. So now the rumour is Google are going back in. Why? Big money, John, boy.
Big money, John.
Now Google is here in Ireland, right? We all know this. Big Google shop here in Ireland. You can go in and get the Google. But... No, but like Ireland's only handy place. China is about twice the size of Ireland.
It's just slightly bigger now.
So why is Google going to China? All that Chinese twine. They want the China dollar, so they do. So Google now is like the manager after dropping China for bad behaviour. They're saying China are not training. And now they're looking in over the ditch and they see China kicking soccer with new boots on. Jeez, if we got China back, we win the county. Huh? You think they'd take over the whole place? Shite. You can't be at that. That's pure horse in the bucket. China's not training. He's still turning up of a Sunday morning smelling like a Russian funeral. Right? I wouldn't stand for it. Tell you, when I was manager, I dropped my own brother.
Oh, yeah?
Because he wasn't training. That, and he owed me 10 bob. So now, Google, Google's going taking the soup. So they say, I don't know, this is the story anyway. It looks like they're going back in and they're going to do what the government in China wants. So in China, when you get onto Google, there'll be no Facebook, there'll be no Twitter, there'll be no Instagram, and there'll be no YouTube. So, no, Facebook is gas. How would you know what young ones are single down the town? So, you know, it's gas young ones, they come crashing back into your newsfeed there when they're single, a new picture of them with their gym instructor. Looking like one of the Nolan sisters. Do you remember them, the old pop group?
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Oh my God, they'd put a horn on a heifer. Back in my day, like, you've all the Google or you Instagram and all that now. Back in my day, if you wanted to see a woman in a bikini, you'd have to go to the continent.
The continent.
There was no bras in Tremor, I tell you. The nuns would have you fucking reddened. Belt of a wooden ruler. So, you got into Google in China. There'd be no BBC News. Can't get it. There'd be no RTE. Actually, how are you going to watch a match?
Oh.
She's the one that's hurling banned off the telly in China.
I wouldn't say it's too big out there, to be honest.
There's a few clubs out there. I often hurled against the Chinese. So I liked our documentaries on T.G. Cahir, but I wonder if you can get them out on the China. Or the, what would you have? T.G. Cahir on the line. So there was a very good documentary on T.G. Cahir on Monday about a man from Clare who married a goat, and then they broke up and he turned into a Bowron. So the big protest march, remember Tiananmen Square? And all that back in 89, all the students were protesting and the army went in and fucking blew them out of it. If you're in China and you Google that, nothing comes up. Never happened.
Whoa.
Yeah. So, like last Sunday, myself and Dermot went on a woeful session and Carmel wasn't around and she came back Monday and said, we out last night. Nope.
Never happened.
Never fucking happened, lad. She none the wiser. And I fucking dying. Why do you think I was watching a documentary about a goat? I had like a fucking bale of silage. So in China as well, the government can read all your messages. They don't use, what do you have, WhatsApp?
Yeah, WhatsApp here, yeah.
They don't use that. They have a thing called WeChat. And it's not encrypted, so they can read your messages.
Wow.
Imagine the Chinese government reading Smax's messages. They'd get fucking sick. So, my second gripe of the week. Saddle up, bye. It's not the Galway races or Nurses Night in Coppers. It's everybody's favourite racist, Texas. not the pop band from Scotland now. I have no evidence that they're racist. Just shite.
I don't think you can collectively say that the people of Texas are racist. So
maybe you can't.
Podcast disclaimer, people in Texas are not racist.
Oh, whatever you want now, okay. So there's a town in Texas called San Antonio, right? And it's down in the southeast. And you might remember San Antonio from The Alamo. Obviously, you don't remember what The Alamo is. He thinks it's...
I thought that was where we rented the car in San Francisco.
Yeah, that's why Texas is famous over... Yeah, good man. There's nothing inside in your brain, only fucking ice cream, I'd say, is there?
Is it not called Alamo?
Yeah, well, that's the name of the car rental place, but it got the name from...
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
There was a big fight in the Alamo.
Okay.
You clown.
Sorry, no.
Texas used to be part of Mexico. That's a fact.
That's a fact.
It's a fact. And then one day the Texans were like, well, I'm fucked if I'm putting up with this anymore. We're getting out. And they had a big fight at the Alamo. And all the rebel lads were inside in the fort in Alamo. And here, hundreds of Mexican lads came on shooting at him. And they were stuck inside for 13 days under siege. Would you come out? No. Like the time Geraldine wouldn't come out of the room because I used her Ronan Keaton CD to scare away the crows. Now, some people tied the CDs on the scarecrows, you know, the shiny things. I just turned it on. I nearly killed the fucking corn.
Life is a roller coaster.
Oh, lad, it wasn't a burden for fucking the county. So that's the animal anyway, and they all died roaring anyway. So now in San Antonio, in Texas, a shark has been stolen from an aquarium. Did you hear this?
No.
Oh, well, you fucking should. It's only a baby one now. It's a 2 foot long horn shark. Isn't that what they call it, Johnny? A horn shark. So a lad, he reached into the shark tank and he pulled it out. only a little small shark, and he wrapped it in a blanket and put it into a pram, and he walked out the door.
Jesus.
Now, I know ye say I'd be harsh on the Yanks, but like, you should see the footage of the CCTV now, and your man is walking out the door with the pram, and the water fucking dripping everywhere. Do you think someone would say, oh, excuse me, sir, what's in the pram? Oh, it's a fucking shark. No, he walked out the door. He set up a tank at home in the garage. And he had the shark inside it. Like, just like an oil tank you'd have outside the house now or something. I swear to God, shark swimming around inside it. And they said to him, what are we going to do with it? I was going to sell it on Facebook.
Oh, Jesus.
Huh? Now, I've seen a fair few things on Dundee, but a shark takes the fucking cake now, I'll tell you that. I mean, mostly only old trailers and strimmers and stuff I'd be looking at now. But, well, no point buying one when you can borrow one, you know what I mean? Haven't they good neighbours? You know, lads make a living off that too. I was buying and selling and rooting and balling. And everyone have their own way. I couldn't have a regular job. Do you know, like, do you ever have like a, you know...
A 9 to 5.
Yeah. Mm. They said to me, Noel, would you work Monday to Friday? I said, I couldn't do it. The best I could do would be Tuesday to Saturday. And the first job I ever had now, I'm nearly gone off the pint, a small bit now, but sure, what about it? My news. After I served my time, I was working as a fitter for Hassett. You know Hassett, sure, remember out there at Lanyon Road?
Yeah.
The mainest man in Ireland. Oh my God. He only had one child, Hassett. Scrawny little fella. Scrawny little Hassett. I swear, he only dropped a half load into the wife when he made him a child. So one time Hassett said to me, will you stay on late? We're doing a job in the piggery. And I was only young now at the time. And fuck, about 11 o'clock at night, we finished. And you know what he gave me?
What?
An orange. And I welded in bars in that piggery all day, up to my ears in fucking slop.
Oh, God.
So I handed him my notice anyway the next day. I said, fuck you, Hassett. And on my last day, well, I tell you, I stroked every fucking spanner and hammer out of that place. Bah! I could barely carry him out. My lunch bag was like a priest's pocket on Easter Sunday. I was fucking jingle jangle by going out the door. So, anyhow, the shark, I don't know who's going to buy the shark. What do you do to the shark? You can't take it for a walk.
No.
Didn't the guard dog. Unless you live in fucking Venice. Oh, daddy, look what I got you for Christmas. The shark. I suppose it bears a pair of socks anyway, sure. So, you have no tea for me this week. No tea, okay. No, that's fine, Maureen. Don't you know, you say we are. So,
do you want water? No.
Bah, I won't. I'm fine. So, last week, the quiz got a big reaction. So this week, a lot of people onto me saying that I need to use the airwaves for better our community. So,
better usage.
This week, I have a bit of a notice board I have to read out.
Oh, no.
I'll keep it quick. Look, so for sale... Full set of spanners. One previous owner, who was a miserable bastard, may have P. Hassett engraved on them. Inquiries to the podcast here. And missing... A black and white border collie. Missing from the Knockany area of Limerick. Last seen Sunday evening at 5 p.m. Answers to the name Trevor. Alright, straighten up. No, like Sunday at 5 p.m. that was Limerick, we're winning the hurling match. So I tell you, that dog is going into somebody's chow mein anyway, because there was a woeful session in Limerick last Sunday to fucking bail all out. I swear to God, Limerick last weekend, there were more drugs than a Russian swim team. Myself and Dermot got caught up in the session now. I tell you, things got fairly leery in Limerick. I got into a fight with the O'Connell Monument. He was looking at me funny. So if the dog is found, please call Jim Fridge on 061-61959. That's a black and white border collie. Also, this week, there is a dinner dance this Friday taking place in the Father Hayes Hall in Ballyduff. Tickets are €45 and are available from McGrath's shop in Leamy Brine. Wine reception at 7:30. Wine. Jeez, Ballyduff are really fucking losing run themselves now and there. 7:30. You think they'd leave it until after Mass? Fuck it, Father Kearns will be like an Antichrist. And music on the night by Dick Dooley. For sale, straw bales. 8x4x4. €75. Jesus above, they're going to wicked price. Huh? To be fucking cheaper, take the cattle into the hotel for a Calvary. The fucking food is be roasting in there though. Here we go. Jesus, I was in there last Sunday, swear to God. I got a top side of beef. Just as the Galway game was thrown in. I swear to God, 7 to 4 pints before I could eat it. Fucking supposed to be roasting. So, bales ready for collection in the Drangan area. Call Jerscrope on 052-74808. Also, I have a 1981 maroon Cortina, 397,000 miles on it, taxed till the end of the month. Needs repairs. Front axle, brake pads, exhaust pipe, radiator, battery, steering rack is shot, rear suspension is non-existent, gearbox needs replacing. Clutch was replaced in 2001. The roof leaks when raining, or the hardy fucking leaks when it's sunny. Has a mark on the passenger side from when he hit a cyclist. One careful owner. Loved dearly. Email slinkybywhoopwhoop@hotmail.com. Be an ideal little run around for your mother now or something up and down to Mass. So that is today's notice board inquiries here to the podcast.
Oh, that's brilliant. Thanks very much, Noel. Inquisitive as ever, and I'm sure the people out there will appreciate that.
Lad, I must say, your new studio here in Dublin is fucking roasted.
It's hot in here, yeah.
It's like the inside of Gaddafi's tent or something, you know.
You'd want disposable underpants, in fairness, Noel. Once again, Noel's News. Thank you.
Go on, good luck.
Okay, so if we've all just come through after that. Another amazing Noel's News. So now it's time for Mara's mystery topic. Maureen isn't just a token female on this podcast. We let her challenge us every week with her mystery topic. Mara, what have you got up your sleeve this week?
Okay, so lads, you were asked a question during the week. What would you two know about Stoa?
The fuck would you know about Stoa? Yeah. What would we know about Stoa?
What would you know about Stoa?
So I've devised a quiz. And the winner of this quiz is going to be called the King of the Straw 2018.
Oh, yes, love a quiz. I love a quiz.
You live on a farm, it's not fair.
Yeah.
Go on, Maureen.
Serve it.
Okay,
up.
So I have 6 questions, 3 each, and I have a tiebreaker.
Need the tiebreaker.
Okay. I've given you multiple choice. Okay, now these questions are very hard. So, Schmacks, we'll let you go first. According to Chagas, what is the average weight of a round 4x4 straw bale? Is it A, 125 kilograms, or B, 150 kilograms?
125.
Wrong, it's 150 kilograms.
Go away, just like my awful tank. Pull them up me back.
Okay, Johnny B. In May, the Farmers Journal said that because of poor weather conditions for sowing crops and an increased demand for straw, we are looking at a straw shortage this winter. How many bales did the Farmers Journal predict that there would be demand for this winter? Is it A, 6 million standard 4x4 bales, or B, 8 million standard 4x4 bales?
Jeez, 8 million, I'd say you couldn't get enough of them.
Sorry, wrong. A, 6 million. Jeez. I told you this was hard. Okay, back to Schmitz.
I normally don't deal in millions when I'm talking about bales, Mara.
Euros, Irish money.
Okay.
Trailer loads, I deal
right.
In
a follow-up question, Smacks, to this Farmer Journal article, by how many bales did they predict that demand would exceed supply, leading to a shortfall? So this winter, will there be a shortfall of A, 540,000 bales or B, 720,000 bales?
720,000 bales.
Correct.
Yes. I'm on fire. Oh, I don't know how I knew that.
It's one
random
for schmacks, one for schmacks. Okay. Great. Johnny B, back to you. A Roscommon man on Dundeal is selling 4x4 bales of golden barley straw sourced from Wexford. I rang him today asking how much he charged per bale to deliver a load of them to a farm in Portlaoise. How much did he quote me per bale? Was it A, €25 per bale, or B, €30 per bale?
What are his bales? What size bales are they again?
They're 4x4 bales of barley straw delivered from Roscommon to Portlaoise.
Bale and delivery?
Yes. So A, 25 or B, 30.
4x4. I know the 8x4s are gone to, they're gone to 60 anyway. So fuck it, a 4x4, he probably gets 30 quid for it, would he?
Correct. Oh, yeah. One all.
Cheating, boy. Cheating, okay. On here.
Using mats. Nobody uses mats
in this podcast.
Okay, schmacks. What was the average price of a 4x4 bale in 2017 according to the Farming Independent? Was it A, €17 or B, €18?
17.
Correct!
What kind of a question? Go on.
2-1, 2-1, okay.
You'll never get Who Wants to Be a Millionaire job at this rate, Martin.
Okay, right. Last question to Johnny B, okay. So this is going to have to do a tiebreaker if you get this wrong, okay, right? So finally, in a normal year, how many bales of straw would be produced per acre of tillage? Is it A, 8.5 bales per acre, or B, 10 bales per acre?
Oh, 8.5, I'd say.
Wrong.
Oh. Yes, so I
win. Schmacks is king of the straw.
King of the straw, boy.
Yeah, the answer king is the actually 10 bales. This year, they're because of the poor weather conditions, they're going to be doing 8.5 bales.
So I'd be right.
So anybody listening?
Yeah, well, yeah. No, I say the question was, finally, in a normal year, it was very specific. Okay, so, okay, yeah, okay. Yeah.
So for anybody listening, lads, I hope you enjoyed that lesson on straw. Maura, tell us what we all really fucking care about. What's the story with the Tinder? Did your man text you back last week?
Okay, so in a quick roundup, Maura went on a date with a guy. It went well. He didn't text. The date was Thursday night.
Yeah.
By Saturday evening, you were like, come on, let's get this out of the way. I'm going to text him. Yeah. He didn't text you back until Sunday. And what happened?
Well, then he texted me back again. And then we had a little bit of it. We had a little bit chit-chat over
to
and back.
And fro.
And then kind of like middle of this week, I was like, so are we still on for the second date? And then he's kind of like him and hawing about it. And then I was just like, oh, look at here, good luck. So, you know, it was just like.
You gave him the custard pie.
Yeah, he's just like, I was getting out of a really, you know, really tricky relationship. I was like, well.
He wanted one thing.
Yeah.
Rhymes with smicks. So, the Tinder Chronicles live on. You're still on the Tinder.
Yeah. No, okay. It's going well. So
if anybody finds Maureen on Tinder, well, you can give her your best chat up lines. All right, don't forget to rate, review, and tell your friends about the Two Johnnies podcast and use the hashtag #TwoJohnniesPod. That's the digit #TwoJohnniesPod. And don't forget, our second live podcast in the Sugar Club is still available. Tickets are on Ticketmaster. It's Wednesday the 26th of September. Thursday the 27th is sold out.
So I'm buzzing, lads.
Coming to Wednesday.
Oh, wait until you hear what we've got planned
for
this.
If you think this is wild, wait till the live podcast. Okay. So we decided to open up our social media channels and let the listeners of this podcast ask us questions on anything. A lot of people just came in and was like, will Mayo ever win Sam? Them questions won't be answered, lads. We're not fucking mind readers, right? So questions about ourselves, our views on stuff, what we like, what we don't like. So here are the questions, right? First question, are we brothers? Johnny.
Yes, and our parents are complete spastics.
No, I have to say, we are not brothers. We're just friends.
Because, as you've probably heard if you listen to the podcast, Smacks is from Ross Gray and I'm from Care.
And our mams run one of the podcasts as well. So we're blatantly not brothers. Also, are our names really Johnny?
Yeah, of course. You think we sat down and worked it out?
Okay, so.
Well, we did. We do know of a band doing very well.
Yeah.
Who have a person's name in the name of their band, and that is because the exact demographic of girl that they're trying to reach was born in a certain year, and the most common name that year is that name.
Yeah, we won't reveal it.
Yep.
So a question for Johnny
Work
B.
It out.
Question for Johnny B this time. Has Johnny B a tattoo on his ankle?
Yes, I do. I got it there. We were doing the podcast at the time. I just didn't feel like saying it.
Do you want to tell the people about your tattoo?
It's a tattoo around my ankle. And I'm showing it to you there now.
Yeah, but I don't know why you're showing me, because people at home can't see it.
It's all around in a circle, so that there's equal spaces between each letter, and it says nothing is impossible. And I was at the GA summer camp And one of the lads said it to me. So normally in your training, you'd have your old football socks on so you wouldn't see the ankle. And the lad says, oh, have you got a tattoo on your ankle? I was like, oh yeah, midlife crisis. He said, oh, is that what it says? yeah, that's what it says, man, yeah.
Okay, another question coming in. This is from Anya Gabriella on Instagram. Have you ever had an argument?
Never.
I don't think we've ever had an argument. And that is, we're not just saying that now. No. But we actually very rarely argue. We can't. We're a partnership. So we're very honest with each other. So that's why.
You're very good communicators. So yeah. I wouldn't think you'd.
Yeah. I think that's why we don't have arguments. How good is our relationship? This feels like it's relationship advice. Very good. I would say.
I think your relationship goals. I think you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Get someone to look at you the way Johnny B looks at Smacks.
we would try to give each other a handjob once a week. Anyway. Too far. Too far.
Okay, this comes in from Sean Walken on Instagram. Would you rather Tip win the All Ireland next year or Ireland win the Rugby World Cup? That's.
I'm going to have to say I'd rather see Tip win
in All Ireland as well. Yeah. Sorry to all the Rugger Burgers out there. Yeah, look, Tip's our county. We'd rather see them win in All Ireland than a lot of posh people celebrate.
I'll throw it to you on the soccer. What would you see, Tip win All Ireland or Ireland win the World Cup in soccer?
Ireland win the World Cup in soccer. I'd rather see Tip win All Ireland. Liverpool win the Premier League. Whole different kettle of fish.
Oh, you sap.
Yeah, it'd be I'd need a couple of days to think on that. Tip win in All Ireland, Liverpool win the Premier League. Like, Tip won in All Ireland a few years ago. Liverpool have never won the Premier League.
Yes, they have. They have like 20 of them.
Yeah, but that's the old First Division. They've never actually won the Premier League. So, in my lifetime. So, that would be a tough one.
Look, if Paddy Maher is listening, he didn't mean that.
Any plans to come out to Australia? Coming in from Roisin Con DDDDD on Instagram.
All right, Roisin D. Roisin's fond of the D, all right? Yeah, we have been approached by some people in Australia, and I'd say it will be next year before we get out for a proper tour.
Looking like early next year at this moment. But we are coming to Australia. Yeah, we'll be out that way. Now, is Noel named after Graham Norton's character in Father Ted?
No.
Father Noel Furlong.
I know. We only realised that like a year into meeting Noel.
Yeah, so we can... honestly say he's not named after.
No, because the very first sketch that Noel appears in is on our Facebook and YouTube. It's called Hurlers on the Ditch. And if you haven't seen it, it's only 3 minutes. Go and check it out. That is where Noel came from. And in that sketch, he has no second name. Mm. He wasn't intended to be a long-term guy. He was only a one-time thing.
Yeah.
But him and the chairman have become an integral part of our live show.
Yeah, big time in the live show, yeah.
They're a big part of the live show. And then they kind of grow, and I don't know why he's in the podcast. He just bursts his way in.
It's just brilliant. We just shoehorn him in there. Why not?
And can I say, some people pull me up on the things that are said, saying, you can't be saying that. Like, that's racist or that's this or that. But I don't say it.
See? Yeah.
Noel says it.
Yeah.
We can't censor Noel here in the Two Johnnies podcast.
Yeah, I don't agree with everything Noel says.
Okay, so a question in from James Moore. When did the two of you first realise that being the Two Johnnies could be a full-time job?
I think you copped that before I did. I didn't think we'd ever make money out of it.
Yeah, I just thought there was an old gap in the market for something like us, what we're doing, like, you know, and that was music and comedy at the time. I just thought it could be an old new dawn, maybe this, and plus, I really didn't want to work anymore. So I just didn't want to get up at 7:30 in the morning, so we just had to make it a full-time thing. But I think we were doing the Two Johnnies for like 9 months.
Before?
So, yeah, nearly going on a year before we actually... I gave up my job and we went at it full time.
Yeah.
So I guess it was always our goal was like to be full time.
Yeah, but we've kept choosing the long term option ahead of money. People don't see that, but we get offered all kinds of jobs and we turn down 99% of them because we keep taking the long term option ahead of taking money.
And it seems to have worked out well. We're still around. I think like because people keep saying to us like, oh, sure, enjoy it while it lasts. But I mean like we've got major plans.
Yeah, motherfuckers.
So, for the rest of our life. Okay, good question here from Timmy Cruz, 77. Did you ever get a ride or finger a bird in the dugout in the GAA field in Care?
No, never.
I've never been with it, but like when I moved to Care, I was 19, so I wasn't hanging around dugouts. I had my own house. So, there was no need to take birds down dugouts. Quite simply, I had a bedroom. Johnny, you were raised in Care, the mean streets of Care. Did you ever shift an old bird down there now or then?
Oh, jeez, I couldn't. My father built that dugout.
So you never took a bird down the dugout?
I couldn't do it to the man.
No? What? We done a show somewhere and there was two people down the dugouts after our show.
Kildare, yeah.
Kildare.
It was wild.
It was wild. There was two people enjoying themselves down the dugout. And they weren't doing truck and fucking trailer. I'll tell you that, yeah.
Well, it wasn't hand passing. Yeah.
So, that's we'll talk about that.
No,
off
I got here. A shift in a lifeguard's hut once.
Is that the wildest place you've ever...
Don't you ask that question.
Go on, what's the wildest place you've ever got a shift?
Oh, got a shift?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to... Jesus, it's not that kind of podcast.
I don't know. That's in school, sure. That's actually mental when you think of it, like shifting someone in school.
A lifeguard's hut now is fair going as well. I don't want to know. I don't want to know that story. Where is it, Tremore?
No, I don't understand.
We have to throw it back to you, Shrek, so I'll answer that question as well.
The wildest place I've ever shifted anyone. Underneath a stage at the Gaeltacht. And I was a big enough unit. But I tell you, I get into small spaces regularly. Okay, what's... A good question here to get us away from that. Carla Doc 94. What's the biggest hurdle you've faced so far? I think it's not taking the soup.
Yeah.
Not taking the easy option of the handy money, like, in terms of a career. Like, you can get into this and you can go really fast and make a load of money, but you'll burn out. And, like, I think you see that with a few people around that have kind of took that option and, you know, they're fading away into the background, whereas we're trying to just stay steady. I'd say that's probably the hardest hurdle we face, and getting people to actually, like, play our music.
Oh, that'd be the biggest hurdle for me is...
Getting people to trust us. I think people just think like, ah, oh, the boys are mental.
Yeah, that's an issue for me because we are comedians. Mm. So when we turn up for an interview, we're like laughing and joking and acting a maggot, and people think, oh, these guys are messers, like.
Yeah.
Yeah, some comedians come in a suit and they're pure serious, like, and then they go on air and have you laugh. But like, we're having the laugh all the time.
Yeah.
We're still clocking in more hours than most people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're very professional in your...
I wouldn't go that far now.
Yeah. But yeah, no, you turn up on time most of the time, and I know what you're saying though.
Getting people to play our songs.
Yeah, it's probably the biggest hurdle we face. We're getting there, slowly but surely. Three number ones. Somebody's playing them. Okay, a question from Owen McAtamy. What would you prefer playing, hurling or Gaelic football?
Hurling, easy. I came on in the junior football.
Yeah.
What night were we out last week?
Last Saturday night.
Oh, we had the show.
Yeah.
In the Mansion House. That was great crack. God, we didn't mention that. Come on.
Last week.
Did we? All right, sorry. We were hosting the show in the Mansion House. Brilliant crack. Went out afterwards, and we had junior football the next day. We never drink before a match, but like, it was only junior football, and like, do you know what I mean?
I nearly died. The keeper was in goal, and I was like, here, have you got any water there, keeper? And he was like, yeah, lad, yeah. And I knew him from playing soccer, like, and I drank all his water in the first half. So his water bottle was empty at half time, and he came out in the second half, and he just had the water bottle with him. I was like, here, throw us out water. He's like, there's none left. You drank it all in the first half. I said, jeez, we should not fill it up at half time. And you know when I'm dying. But we got through it.
I was full back, and I said to the boys, don't anyone pass me the ball. See this lad wearing 14, I'm just sticking to him like shit now for the day. I don't anyone pass me the ball.
But yeah, definitely hurling is our favourite sport to play.
Yeah, I don't really understand football.
Yeah.
It's just become too much about, oh, give it a simple pass. I'm not training since January.
To give it a simple pass. You
want outside of the boot, 60 yards. Like
Hollywood stuff.
Give it a go.
Kayla Grogan, what are your pet... She's got two questions now. What are your pet hates?
What, in general? Like?
Yeah, in general.
Which we've got a yurt and dirt every week. I try and get them out.
Yeah. I would say people who eat loudly. And I would say very... People who just talk about themselves all the time.
Yeah.
Everybody's got someone like that in their life who just talks about themselves. If you went and climbed Kilimanjaro, she went up the top and barbecued and had her dinner up there and ran back up then as well.
One-upmanship.
Yes, that annoys me. And
for me, indicators.
Oh yeah.
Is it that hard to indicate?
And also another question from Kayla. One thing that annoys you about each other.
Well, I know your one for me is that I have bad timekeeping.
Yeah, it's... Oh my God, like, I rang him today and I was like, I'll pick you up at 1:30. And I rang him and was like, I'm going to be late. It'll probably be 2:15 when I'm in.
Quarter to two.
He still wasn't ready. At 2:15.
Yeah, but I had loads of shit to do.
So would I.
Okay, here's my pet head. Like, up your computer skills so you can do all that shit I was doing.
I told you, I don't have a computer. I've got the laptop. We can't all do it.
You remind me of one of the boys, like, he's always out. And then we said, like, how did the wife put up with you? And he's like, well, she knew what she was getting into.
Yeah,
she
exactly.
Married me. So you told me before we started that you had no computer skills. Yeah. And now it's my problem.
I have an ECDL boy. That's from transition year.
That's more than I have, lad.
Yeah, there you go.
At home, fucking using Pro Tools and editing movies. And...
Okay, so Chucky992 was in touch. This is a question for Maura.
Oh, on the DMs, aye, aye.
Why don't you ask Maura if she had to go on a date with one of ye? Which one would it be? No.
No.
That's from the cat among the pigeons.
No.
There'll be no offence. There'll be no offence.
Like a platonic date, where if he's just going for the crack.
Oh, that's not what he says.
No, it's a date.
Oh, Jesus. I couldn't. No, I couldn't. No, that's like asking.
I'm going to have to push
no,
you
we're
there.
No, I'm going to have to push you there. That's not what I have in front of me here.
If I didn't know you at all and whatever, and.
Like, obviously, I'm better looking, like, but then, you know.
No, but this is the thing, you see, because, like, when I first met you, like, the girls were asking me about you, whatever, and, like, they're like, and they were like, if you had to, like, which one would you? And I was like, yeah, I suppose the lad with the brown hair is probably more my type, so.
Johnny B.
No, you.
Oh, I've brown hair, have I?
Yeah.
Hey.
Yeah, thanks, Mar. They all fucking say the same. Oh, Johnny.
Yeah, look, Mar, if you're not going to take this seriously, there's no point in us doing it. Like.
Then no, I've a lot of female friends who fancy Johnny B as well.
Hey,
so.
Yeah. You're trying to bring them to the podcast someday.
Something wrong with them. All right, a question from Orla Lynham. What's been the most surreal, amazing thing to ever happen since the two Johnnies?
When we first started, the big one was performing at the homecoming for the Tip Hurling team in 2016. We were only going, we were only just getting going, and there was about 40,000 people at that, and we got to go out and sing our song. And a lot of people knew the words, singing it back at us. And you got to remember, like, the next day, we're back in work at 8 in the morning. That was absolutely
yeah,
surreal.
I was back serving chops the next morning, playing the 40,000 the night before.
That was Monday night, and we didn't drink or anything at the homecoming because we had a hurling match on the Tuesday, and we had a football match on the Wednesday because the lads who do the fixtures in Tipperary are a shower of bastards. So that was a surreal week.
It's good of you to get that up. My, one of the most surreal things was, remember when we went to Edinburgh?
Yeah.
And we came out through the arrivals gate, and there was a fellow where, like, there in a suit with a sign with the two Johnnies. And he was like, we walked over and he was like, ah, you're the two Johnnies. And he took our suitcases and just walked us out to a Mercedes and got in the back. I said, Johnny, this is the fucking business. That's probably one of the most surreal things to have happened to us. How did the two Johnnies start?
Oh, well, I think we've done this, but yeah. We commentated on a video. And the first thing we ever did was the panto.
Yeah,
our local panto. We wrote our own sketch, and then we hosted our club's Strictly Come Dancing,
and all the old ones went wild. They were like, "God, lads, you're onto something there. You should keep going."
Well, a shout out to Martin Hanrahan from the Juvenile Club.
Yeah, Martin, he's the nicest man in the world as well.
Sorry, Martin Hanrahan from the Care Juvenile Club. He was dancing a Viennese waltz to, was it Tchaikovsky?
Tchaikovsky's Second Symphony, John, if I remember correctly.
That's right. And he said to us afterwards, he's the kind of Galway accent, like, "Jesus, lads, you're very good."
Yeah.
Jesse, you're like something off RTE now, the two of you. Know, you'll have to do something.
So we said we'd go from that, and we commentated on an under-21 County B final. Joe.ie published that. It went viral, and then we just started making videos. And now, here we are. So David Usher was in touch. Most famous person we've met since the two Johnnies, I guess. It's a tough one, really. Like, you'd... What defines who...
Like, Marty Morrissey's probably the one in the... He's probably... Everybody in Ireland knows who he is.
Yeah.
But he's very accessible. A lot of people...
You talk about Keith Duffy an awful lot.
Yeah.
No, Johnny does.
He's good crack. I like his... He dresses always in black. He's like myself. Dark man. He's like myself. So Cormac Reedy was in touch. How did yourself and Johnny B meet? And what were your first impressions of each other? So we'll just do what we were first...
Sorry, are Codaline famous?
Yeah, they're famous.
I was at a christening with them last week.
There you go.
If that counts as being...
That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. Yeah.
I was trying to get Steve to sing a song. He wasn't having it. Go on, yeah. How did we meet?
What was our first impressions of each other?
You were living with Turnip and the tank and all, weren't you?
Yeah.
My mate Sparrow came in and was like, this is Johnny Smacks. He's moving down now. He's able to play hurling. We'll get him going now. He'll be right. He'll be a big addition now. We'll get him going.
They still haven't got me going 8 years in. Yeah, no, I first met Johnny down at GA training. Ah, yeah, like, I didn't think too much. Like, he had a ponytail. I just thought he should cut that. Was my first first thought, really.
He was fanboying me a bit, like. I had the song out in 2010, the Premier Rap. And I remember I was hanging out with Smacks. You were only from moving down. We hit it off well. Mm. And over in Turnip's house.
Yeah, we went out for a night then. We went to Cashel as well.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, that was probably the first night out.
He was my wingman.
Yeah, looked after him, boy.
Yeah. And your mother says to me, "Now you look after him, Johnny."
When you do my mother's accent, like, you make out that she, like, lives on the side of the road. In leash or something.
No, I overdo the accent when I impersonate your mother. But she said to me, you look after him. And I said, I'll rear him for you, Trish, now.
And he has. So IME for G was in contact. She said, will you shift my friend?
Well, have she landed? Or?
Has she landed? Let us know. BKL89, how did I end up in Care from Ross Gray? I got a job in Clonmel in a clothes shop and I moved down to Care.
She went to college with all the Care boys.
Yeah, and I knew them. So it was a little handy out.
The football,
yeah. I wanted to play senior football as well. I didn't want to say I was, in case anyone's playing the drinking game, I didn't want to say I played county minor, but it was handy to go to Care and play senior football.
Because you're from Ross Gray, where they don't have a football team.
Well, they do, but we were only junior. Dermot Mac 17, do you consider the two Johnnies the follow on from Dunbelievables? I'd be absolutely honoured if we were the new Unbelievables.
A little bit. For people who don't know us, it's one of the easiest ways to explain it. If you're ringing, like we just booked a gig with a club in West Clare that's on in November. We'll give you the details. And they were like, and what's your live show like? And eventually I just had to say, it's kind of like Dunbelievables.
it's the best way of putting
it. I had to say that eventually.
Yeah, so, yeah, I suppose maybe we are.
The version of Dunbelievables.
The new age version.
Yeah. I wish Dunbelievables were still going and had Snapchat.
Oh, it'd be some crack. That'd be class. Cormac Coughlin in touch. Who's the most prolific womanizer?
I don't think you should answer that question as your producer. I'd advise you to move on to the next question.
Neither of us. Are the two Johnnies on Tinder? Neither of us are.
Never have been.
Who's the better hurler?
Actually, no, I'm a dog. What did Mick Ahern call me?
He just said, we had him cornerback. He'd do a job.
You fucking prick, that's not what he said.
No, what was it he said? He said
I was a destroyer.
A destroyer, yes, yes. He wasn't getting his insurance done. One of the boys told me that, yeah. He said, Johnny is a destroyer.
We went training the other night and the miners came in with us to make up the numbers because our training, lads, you need to buckle down now, you're going to get knocked out. And sure, we're marking some of the miners now. And now I was fucking getting stuck in and I could hear lads running from the sideline. Johnny, will you calm it down? Yeah, but Derek, my cousin's like, I wasn't going to let him best me. I didn't care what age they are.
So you never answered the question.
Smacks have better hands.
Again, never answered. We're never going to get an honest answer of him on that. When are we getting Gonzo on the chalk ice on the podcast?
Well, Gonzo is home from Australia. I went to meet him briefly on Sunday evening, but he was making absolutely no sense because he was loathered.
Chalk Ice will never come on. He doesn't speak in public.
We have asked Chalk Ice.
Yeah. We've got a question in. Are we coming to Hurling for Cancer? We are on the August the 14th in Newbridge. We'll be there showing off our hurling skills. And we let you decide who the best hurler is.
Last year, the full forward line was Shane Dowling from Limerick, Conor MacDonald of Wexford, and Johnny Smacks of Care. So if you'd like to come and see the greatest full forward line of all time and Johnny Smacks playing like that, I tried to do TJ Reid.
Yeah,
let it bounce off him.
He's a big man.
He's an animal.
He's a big man. Last question, what's your chipper order? So you go into the chippers, what's your order?
I get a 12 inch pizza with pepperoni, chicken and peppers and garlic dip.
I like a taco chip, a chicken fillet burger. And if I'm really hungover, I might try in an onion ring. So that's it for our questions this week. Hope you enjoyed them. Some insight there into us. There were some questions that were just too far, lads. Don't be asking us stuff like that. We couldn't include them. But of course, we're going to round off the podcast this week, as we always do, with our yurts and dirts of the week. So this is where we give our highlight and lowlight of the week. Johnny B, give us your yurt.
My yurt of the week is the Blues Brothers.
What?
Did you ever see the movie?
Yeah. That's not out this week, like.
Yeah, but I just watched it for the first time in like 10 years and I had forgotten how gas it is. The tunes are unreal. It's really slow moving. There's like...
Yeah, nothing happens.
5 minutes of nothing happening. Yeah. And then James Brown comes in and does mass.
Yeah.
Lad, if James Brown was the parish priest, they'd be swinging from the fucking altar rails, I tell you that.
Yeah, and when we used to open the shows, yeah. When we used to do our own local... GA, Strictly Come Dancing, whatever. We used to come out in black suits like the Blues Brothers to that song. So it brings back good memories. My yurt of the week is The Game, the documentary, the GA documentary, which aired on RTE on Monday night at half nine. Absolutely unreal. Really, really arty. And
nearly two arty times now.
A little bit too arty at times, but it's great. It gives a great insight into hurling and stuff like that. And you'll see a familiar face in episode two this week.
Episode two, Monday night. I haven't seen it, but I'm told the opening shot is me.
They were that stuck.
Yeah. I'm in it twice. I'm within cutting down trees ashtrays, and then I'm in it making hurleys.
And can I also say, and I've got another year to the week, I went to a restaurant in Cashel.
Right.
I got chicken wings for starters.
As you like to do.
Now, they were rushing me. I literally had stopped, finished deboning the last chicken wing, and I threw it into the bowl. And I was like, you finished there, took it away. And with her, when she was taking it away, she took, you know, the little bowl that they give you out to wash your fingers.
Ah.
Yeah, so I had big greasy fingers. Oh. And I, like, wiping them in tissue isn't the same.
You that's your dirt.
That's my dirt, yeah, can I just say that? I've got another yurt, though. Okay. I joined a new gym this week.
All right.
At Taylor Made up in Cashel. Great gym. It's the first gym I've been to where there's no wankers. Wow. Now, and I can honestly say that. There's no lads in string vests, no lads with hats back the front, no lads with faked hands, apart from me. So, great gym, and I really actually, for the first time ever, enjoyed the gym. Your dirt of the week, John?
My dirt of the week is straight up the price of a pint in Dublin. Commit to me now. Where were we? We were doing a job there, was it last week, wherever we were, and we had to stay in a hotel. Where were we doing? I forget what we were doing. And I said, I'll go and have one pint now. $7.50.
What?
Yeah, it's no joke. It's no joke. So the price of a pint.
A pint in Care, I think the Shamrock are still doing them for about $3.85 a day.
No, they're not. That shows
they are.
So much. No way. $4.40 at home. $4.40, I think.
So
you don't know the right pubs to go to in Dublin. So.
Exactly.
I know, but still, it's gone up. Well, coffees are gone. Even a takeaway coffee is gone to €3. The boom, lad. Scandalous.
The boom is back. My dirt of the week is the shite lads put in WhatsApp groups. Now, we will do a topic on it.
Huh?
I was trying to send my mother a photo the other day.
No.
You put it into...
No, thankfully, I didn't send her on a picture of some fella abroad fucking tying with himself.
Yeah, because when you receive a message, it goes into your...
Yeah.
Saved photos.
Now I tell you, there's a topic in it, lads.
We will
discuss it. But I tell you one thing: I'm a lucky man, and that's all I'm going to say.
There's always one lad putting in, you know,
filth, animals,
and then you go to show somebody a photo, and it's like, oh, there's that, you know, ash tree I wanted to show you. Oh, and there's four
horses having sex with each other. Or
yeah,
something like, so.
Sorry, that's not mine. You know,
lads,
Dylan, put that in the WhatsApp group.
Take it handy in the WhatsApp group. All right, lads, that's all we've got time for this week. So from me, Johnny Smacks.
From me. You know, I can ask somebody asked, where did you get the nickname Smacks?
Yeah, where did I get the nickname Smacks?
Yeah.
You're throwing an absolute curveball at me here. Smacks came from a friend of mine, Frank the Tank. He used to call me Johnny Mac. And then I went to Johnny Max. And then there used to be a character in South Park called Queermo. And he used to keep saying, Smack, Smack. So then Johnny Mac went to Johnny Smack. And then just went to Smacks.
Because you're a bit of a metrosexual.
Yeah.
Well, you are, according to Frank the Tank.
Queermo was a metro, so... That's where they taught the similarity. It's not because I love abusing people in supermaxes on Saturday nights.
Yeah. Well, he told me it was because you were in goal and you had a big smack of a ball.
It's definitely not that. That's something that we've made up.
No, Frank told me that.
Did he, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, he's lying. It's because of Queer Mont Soper. That's where it is. Right. From me, Johnny Smacks.
From me, Johnny B.
We'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. Good.
It's the Two Johnnies Podcast. The Two Johnnies Podcast.
Two Johnnies recording a podcast.